Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making a vinyl heat air horn hit pull in Ableton Live 12, designed for that 90s inspired jungle, old school DNB, darker roller energy. The idea is simple, but the vibe is huge. We're taking a brash air horn stab, then pulling it backward with filtering, saturation, warp movement, and a little bit of chop, so it feels like the energy is getting sucked into the system right before the drop lands. This is one of those edits that can make a transition feel way more intentional, way more rude, and way more like a real sound system moment. What makes this useful in drum and bass is that it does two jobs at once. First, it gives your track personality. It brings in that pirate radio, rave tape, dubplate grime. Second, it creates tension. The pull creates a physical sense of drag, which makes the next drum hit or bass entry feel harder when it finally lands. So let's build it in a way that stays musical, raw, and easy to reuse. Start by finding a horn sample with attitude. You want something short, loud, and instantly recognizable. If you've got an air horn stab already, drop it onto an audio track and trim it so the transient is tight. Keep the attack honest. Don't over-edit the front of the sound, because if you smear that first hit too much, it stops sounding like a horn and starts sounding like a random effects swell. If you don't have a sample, you can synthesize one with stock devices. Wave-eatable or operator both work. Go for a bright waveform, keep the envelope short, and add a low-pass filter so it behaves like a hit instead of a pad. If you want extra bite, layer in a little noise burst. You're aiming for rude, immediate, and mid-range heavy. A good starting envelope is a very fast attack, a decay somewhere around 150 to 350 milliseconds, little or no sustain, and a short release. Again, the exact sound matters less than the attitude. Now turn on warp. For a sampled horn, Complex Pro can sound fuller, while Beats can give you a more percussive, grittier character. The key here is not to just time correct the sample. We want pull behavior. So instead of stretching the whole thing dramatically, focus on the tail. Place warp markers near the transient and near the end. Keep the hit punchy, then stretch the last part of the sound a little longer, so the tail drags behind it. You can also nudge the clip slightly earlier in time, so it feels like it's being sucked into the groove. That tiny movement can do a lot. In DNB, a convincing pull often comes more from editing and automation than from giant time stretching. Now we build the tone chain. On the horn track, start with EQ8, then saturator, then auto filter, then echo or delay, and finish with utility. Use EQ8 to clean the low end. High pass around 120 to 180 Hz so the horn stays out of the sub lane. If the sound is painfully sharp, take a small dip around 2.5 to 5 kHz. Don't overdo it. You still want bite. Next, saturator. A little drive goes a long way here. Try plus 2 to plus 6 dB. And turn soft clip on if the hit gets too spiky. That gives the horn a smoked out, dubplate edge without making it brittle. Then auto filter. Start with a low pass somewhere around 10 to 14 kHz, and automate it downward during the pull. This is one of the most important pieces. As the filter closes, the horn gets darker and more claustrophobic, which makes the whole thing feel like it's falling backward. Add echo or delay if you want a smeared tail. Keep the time short, feedback low, and use a little modulation if you want that final wobble feeling. The point is not to wash the sound out. The point is to leave a smoky residue behind it. Finish with utility to keep the horn centered and to match the level before and after processing. In this style, mono compatibility matters a lot, especially if the horn is sitting over a heavy reese or a wide break. Now for the actual pull. This is the heart of the edit. Place the horn on the last beat or the last half bar before the drop or switch up. Then automate a few things together. First, sweep the auto filter cutoff downward. Start around 12 kHz and move down toward 2 to 4 kHz over the last quarter bar to half bar. That darkening motion is what makes it feel like the sound is falling away. You can also automate the track volume down by a small amount, maybe 1 to 4 dB, so the horn physically eases back. If your source or device allows it, add a little downward pitch movement too. Even 1 to 3 semitones can create a grimy, descending feel. If you want a more authentic vinyl grab vibe, chop the horn into two pieces. Make the second part slightly quieter and slightly later, with a tiny fade out. That broken up movement can sound more human and more like a real edit being punched into the arrangement. Think in envelopes, not just effects. The best pulls usually happen when tone gets darker, level eases off, and the tail changes shape all at once. That combination is what reads as motion. At this stage, listen in context with the drums. The horn should feel attached to the groove, not floating above it. In jungle and old school DNB, the best transitions often line up with snare fills, break gaps, or the last beat before the drop. If the horn is fighting the drums, pull back the processing and trim more body out of the sound. Now make this useful as an edit, not just a one-off effect. Since we're working in the edit space, think in terms of arrangement tools. Duplicate the idea into a few versions. Make one clean short pull, one longer and dirtier pull, and one chopped or more aggressive version. You can place them on different lanes or duplicate the clip and vary the automation. This gives you options for different moments in the track. For example, a short version can work as a teaser before the first main phrase. A longer version can lead into a drop. A brutal chopped version can be used before a switch-up or a bass variation. In jungle and old-school DNB, it's powerful when the same idea doesn't repeat in exactly the same way every time. Now let's glue it to the breakbeat. This is where the edit starts sounding like real drum and bass instead of just a cool effect. Try placing the horn against an amen, a chopped break, or any ghost note heavy rhythm. A great move is to let the horn land on the same bar as a snare fill, or let the pull happen under the break, then end just before the kick and snare backbeat returns. That tiny moment of emptiness can make the next drum impact feel huge. If the break starts getting crowded, use utility to narrow the horn a bit, or carve a small dip around 3 to 5 kHz with EQ8 so the snare can still crack through. Let the drums win the low mids. A horn can sound huge soloed, but in context it has to leave room for the groove. Next, make the bass answer it. The strongest edits in this style often work as call and response. After the horn pull, bring in a sub, hit, re-stab, or bass phrase that feels like the answer. A classic move is horn pull on the last half bar, a brief drum gap, then the bass slams in on beat one. If the bass is a res, keep the low end mono and lightly saturate it so it stays audible after the horn. If it's a more old school sub-heavy bass line, keep it simple and let the horn set up the tension. You can also automate a bass filter to open right after the pull, which gives you a really satisfying release. That contrast between dark pull and open bass hit is money. Now add texture, but keep control. If the horn still feels too clean, try a very light redux treatment for bit depth grit. Vinyl distortion can work too, but use it sparingly. A subtle auto pan can give the tail a little breath. Short reverb can place it in space without washing it out. A good range for reverb is around 0.4 to 1.2 seconds, with the low end cut out and the wet amount kept pretty low, maybe 5 to 12%. If the texture starts stealing attention from the drums and sub, back it off. A few important caution points here. Don't make the horn too long. Don't overprocess the mid-range. Don't let delay or reverb turn the hit into mush. And don't forget the relationship to the drums. If the edit isn't supporting the phrase structure, it won't feel like a proper DNB transition. Here are a few extra tricks if you want to push it further. You can layer a quiet reversed version underneath the main horn pull to make the suction effect more obvious. You can automate filter resonance a little higher during the pull for a sharper, more angry top end. You can even dip the drum boss very briefly for an eighth note before the hit, then slam everything back in. That tiny hole can make the horn feel massive. Another strong move is to resample the edit once it feels right. Print it to audio, then chop it again. That usually gets you more of the rough jungle feel than endless live tweaking. It also makes it easier to create variations. Try making at least three versions in your project: a clean short pull, a dirty long pull, and a chopped version with more pitch movement. Then place them in different parts of an arrangement. One before a drop, one before a breakbeat switch, and one before a bass re-entry. That way you're building a toolkit, not just one effect. For your practice, spend about 10 to 20 minutes making three horn pull edits in one Ableton project. Build one clean and short, one long and smoky, and one chopped with a pitch drop. Automate the filter on all of them. Then add saturator and echo to only one version so you can hear how much those effects change the character. Place each one before a different 8-bar section. Then resample the best result, and make one more variation from the bounce. If you want the old-school jungle feel, leave some rough edges and don't polish everything to death. If you want darker modern pressure, tighten the edit, shorten the pull, reduce the reverb, and push the saturation a bit more. Either way, keep the first transient clear, keep the low end clean, and make sure the edit is supporting the groove. If it sounds like it could slam into a sound system right before the drop and make the whole room lean forward, you're on the right track.